back to the John Whitmer Show. Our studio line is open, 316-869-1330. In studio with me, I've got, we're going to kind of have just a three-way conversation here. We'd love to have you join us, but I have two incoming newly elected state representatives with us. So I've got Mike Capps, or is it Mike or Michael?
Either one.
Either Mike, one, Michael. Okay. So
whatever you want to call.
Whatever you want to.
Well, I'd be careful.
Yeah, I was going to say, careful. You haven't spent enough time with Democrats. Don't give them that option. They will take you up on it. So, Michael Capps, and your district is what number?
District 85.
85.
Northeast Sedgwick County. I get a little bit of Butler. I get Benton.
A little Butler, Benton, yeah. Okay.
Some small town, some urban.
Gotcha. And the Stephen Owens.
That is I.
What number are you?
74.
74.
So,
live
in Heston. So, we have all of Harvey County. Except for Newton and North Newton, and then about half of Marion County, Hillsborough, Florence, Peabody, and just a little corner of McPherson, so we have Mound Ridge in there as well.
Oh, so great. So this is going to be good. We've got a good perspectives here because you'll have, you know, both predominantly metropolitan with Wichita and those areas, and then you've got a good rural reference. So, but feel free to call in. I'm sure the guys would love to take your calls. So the first question as we've been having these conversations with the newly elected representatives, the first thing I tend to ask is, why'd you run? So, Stephen, what prompted you? The best answer, by the way, so far was last week when Cheryl Helmer, who beat Ed Trimmer, and I asked that question, and she said, well, have you ever read one of Ed Trimmer's newsletters? And that was a great response. So, Stephen, why'd you run?
Well, my response probably won't be that good other than to say that the idea came along 6-8 years ago as I was working with some legislation in the Capitol. And I went in to see my representative and to have a conversation about the legislation that I wanted to work on. And I could tell that as I was talking to him, it went right through him, and he could have cared less.
Now, was this the same representative that you just beat?
That is correct.
And who was that?
That would have been Don Schrader,
okay.
Who, by the way,
great
man, good public servant of 20 years, never will speak a bad thing about him, and I've made that very clear when I met with him last December and took him out to breakfast, met him for breakfast, and I said, Don, I said, it's nothing personal. I said, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm running against you. For two reasons. One, I don't agree with the way you vote. And two, I believe that the district is ready for some new leadership. And so I had to wait for the right time with my businesses, wait for the right time with my family. And year over year, or every 2 years, I would see nobody would run against him. And nobody would run against him. And so finally, last November, I made the decision after a series of meetings to run against him.
Yeah, and I knew Don. I mean, in fact, we've served together on a couple of committees, and you know, Don was definitely one of the more moderate members of the House. Like you said, a sweet guy, a great guy.
Sure.
But, you know, I know he voted for the tax increase.
Right.
He was not one that we could rely on Second Amendment or on traditional values. And he was occasionally good with life. But, for example, I know he didn't support defunding Planned Parenthood and things like that. So there were areas that we could count on, Don, but you were respectful about it. And
that's exactly it. Yeah, without question, and I made that very clear throughout our campaign, and that's what I talked to people about as I was out knocking on doors and having conversations. It was like, I believe there's a better way. The retroactive tax increase, I believe, did not need to happen. Now we can see that it didn't need to happen. I mean, look at our budget surpluses. And yeah, 3 or 4 years out, we have a whole other problem, but there's a whole other set of solutions for that. And
yeah.
Putting more of that on top of the taxpayer certainly isn't the
answer.
Well,
raising taxes just so you can spend all that money.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the problem.
You know.
Okay, so Mike, same question. What prompted, and I know it's not for the money, for that whopping $9 an hour. So
yeah, just for the record, we don't get health care for life.
No.
And we don't get a pension for life.
No.
Just so everybody knows.
No.
We don't?
No.
Wait a minute. What did I sign up for?
Sorry to disappoint you, Mike.
Yeah, and your pay is $80. Woo! Go ahead.
You know, District 85, Northeast Sedgwick County is got a long history of conservative values already. You know, I've got very large shoes to fill. Predecessors from Steve Brunk to Chuck Weber,
yeah.
Both of which really, championed strong conservative values. So carrying on that torch in 85 is really the calling. But you know, to your point, we each had a reason that kind of drew us in beyond that. So while I love being able to carry on those conservative values, for me it was about trying to give a voice to those in our state and in our communities that didn't have a voice, in particular our children and our elderly, ones that, you know, for some reason seem to fall by the wayside, aren't receiving the attention they should. Somebody needs to be able to speak up and give some advocacy for them. And make sure that every Kansan, whether it's a you know, an unborn child, a child of our foster care system, to a college student, all the way up to an elderly person who's in their final days with us on this earth, that their lives are being valued and given you know, given credit and being protected and advocated for. And so for me, that's the passion that I'm carrying forward, and I think that just aligns so well with the core conservative values that you know, our state and our community embraces.
Well, and you know, that's a good point. One of the arguments that so many of us have made is this increasing demand for a greater and greater share of our state budget for education. And don't get me wrong, I'm a product of public schools. My daughter went to Wichita Heights. So, I mean, my mother was a teacher, my sister was a teacher. I know the public school system. That being said, both of my parents, before they passed, were on fixed incomes, where, you know, my stepfather had to go into assisted living after my mother passed, you know, on Medicaid, basically, Medicare. So there, you know, people forget things like sales tax on food, which we tried over a dozen times to lower, that impacts folks on a fixed income. And things like, you know, last year when they did that retroactive tax increase, they raised taxes on people making barely $500 over the federal poverty level. So that's where, you know, oh, yeah, we need money for, okay, I get that you think you need more money, but you're taking it from transportation, you're taking it from law enforcement, you're taking it from social services, from all these other agencies, and on top of that, you're taking it from folks that are on fixed incomes, lower income brackets, small business who hire, and you know, now they can't hire, or they have to lay off, or they go out of business. That's the sad part. Let me see here. Check the time. You know, let me, real quick, we do have a caller on the line here. Catherine, you're on with Stephen and Mike. How are you this evening? You're kind of cutting in and out there. If you got your radio on, you might turn your radio down. Oh, we lost her. Well, she was on. Maybe she'll call back. Yeah, please do, Catherine, call back. But, you know, that is the sad part.
But, you know, John, to the point you made there, there is a limited number of dollars in that budget.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think it's so much about that. I think it's how we spend those dollars. You know, you can just look over the last 4-8 years in education. I know we can do an entire show on education. But if you just look at education alone, we keep increasing, increasing, increasing. But you know what? Those graduation rates, they're not increasing.
Yeah,
it's not the money issue. But you know what? I saw an article in a paper that I don't want to give a lot of credit to this morning, but it highlighted something that actually wasn't a bad thing. It was about making sure that children were getting breakfast in the morning when they showed up for school, that they weren't going into class hungry. You know what? That is actually something that's a great idea. It's a good use of dollars for a change. And, you know, that's directly benefiting a child. They're not having an empty stomach. But again, it's going to come down to how do they implement it. And do they come back asking for yet more money when they're already spending 35% more than the national average on our children?
I would take that. I would throw two caveats at that, just at the breakfast thing. The first one I would say is, first off, I'm not a Hillary Clinton. This is a village. Takes a village. I would say, well, isn't it the parents who should be providing breakfast?
Should
but
be.
Okay, there are some who, you know, can't. I get that. The problem we have with our free and reduced lunch program and some of these other services is we don't means test them.
No.
That's the issue I have.
Accountability.
So, right. And if we're going to do programs like this, we should means test. You should have to prove that you have a need, because otherwise we're doing this for folks that could be providing for themselves, which means we could be doing more for the people that really need it instead of giving to those who don't necessarily. Am I wrong, Steve?
No, I think you're right. I think that, though, we have to take into consideration that even if parents can, it doesn't mean that they're going to.
That's true.
And I do not believe that there is a child out there that should go hungry. Okay, this is personally me.
No, that's fair.
I have two kids still in the Heston School District, a junior, and I have an eighth grader. And then I have a daughter that'll be attending Wichita State this year. So I used to have people say the same thing during my campaign. Well, how can you say you support education when you're sitting here saying that you want to you want to go along with this constitutional amendment to get a rein in on the Supreme Court. And I say it's very simple. I'm elected. They're not.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing my job, find somebody else.
Well, and, you know, I got those same questions, and I'm sure Mike got them. Everybody gets them. My response to that was always, well, I'm not voting for it. I'm just putting it on the ballot so you can vote for it.
Well,
again, 35% more than the national average already.
Yeah.
It's not a funding issue. It's how we use those dollars effectively.
Yeah, and I've made it a point to go out and to reach out to nearly every one of the superintendents in my district. I haven't had time to hit every one of them, and believe it or not, and I'm not going to say which two it is, don't feel that they need more money.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I doubt they'd admit that in public.
Though. Yes.
I doubt highly that they would admit that
I doubt
that
they
in public.
Would, too.
We're going to take a quick break. I've got three callers. You guys are popular. I've got three callers on hold. As soon as we get back, we'll take those calls. We'll have your calls, and we'll be back. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. Thank you again for listening to the John Whitmer Show. We're going to get straight to the phones. We'll see if second time's a charm. Catherine, how are you this evening?
Good evening. Sorry about that.
There we go.
I was in the basement area and the cell phone dropped out.
No, this is much better.
I have a question just for your visitor there.
Sure.
Are there some ideas about how we can get the GOP party to enunciate and to really promote good conservative values and practices? And the reason I'm asking this is because when we look at what happened under President Obama and we had John Boehner there was a lot of compromise, so much so that basically the Democrats ramrodded a lot of things through, such as Obamacare, and it was approved because it was supposedly a set of taxes. That's my concern, is will the state GOP leaders in the Senate and the legislature be able to help the party leaders to get more outreach and enunciating conservative principles?
So to that question, at least as a freshman, my two cents to it would be the real simple. First of all, in terms of the messaging, it's really about representatives, whether it's myself, a colleague, another freshman, or even somebody that's been there for 10, 20 years, standing on their values and their convictions and not compromising on those. You know, just because we move from Wichita to Topeka for a session doesn't mean the values that we hold so dear right here in our hometowns necessarily need to change. But unfortunately, we do see that happen with a lot of folks. In the upcoming session, you know, we've got a movement to the right. We have a more conservative House chamber. We picked up 5 solid conservative seats, already. So in theory, that should mean that our values are going to be that much more solid and conservative represented. I can't speak for what the leadership may or may not do, but I can tell you that from my role, I intend to stand on my values and convictions.
Well, we know your majority leader will be more conservative.
No, that's true, too. You know, 40 years, I've never compromised on my values. I don't intend on starting now.
Well, yeah, look at the leadership as a whole, right? I mean, Les Mason, good, solid conservative.
Oh, yeah, yes, very much.
You know, we've got Blake Carpenter, good, solid mm-hmm. conservative. We elected a lot of good, solid conservatives. And I'm like Mike, you can rest assured, and I've told people, I said, look, if as a conservative I'm not representing my district, if you don't want to vote for a conservative, then don't vote for me, because I'm going to go up there and I'm going to remain a conservative. That's who I am. That's what I believe. And I think that we've got to take that messaging even a step further. We've got to do better with our youth. My 18-year-old daughter's sitting here, and we've talked about how we've got to engage this 18 to 24-year range class of people, this group of people, and have them help us with our messaging, because inherently we're not good at messaging, certainly not good at hitting that age range of people.
No, I think you're right.
They can go a long way in helping us.
I think you're right. Catherine, we talked about this a little bit on last week's episode. I had Mark Carrs, our national committeeman, on, and we talked about this and about what the party can do to, for lack of a better term, vet candidates and really step in when you've got, you know, I know that people throw that rhino term out there, but when you've got a Republican who is a Republican in name, your Stephanie Clayton's, your Barbara Beaulieu, some of these others. And that, I think, is one way that I think the party can really make a difference, is to step in and say, you know, we're going to withhold our support. We're not going to support candidates that won't at least support our platform and vote with their Republican colleagues a majority of the time. We're going to disagree on particular issues, but and I think you're right about the youth. I mean, I started – my mother – the first campaign I remember, political campaign, and I'm going to put it – you know, I'm my dirty secret that I was born in California, but was my mother door knocking for Ronald Reagan's first gubernatorial campaign when I was eight. So, you know, but that's how you have to start this.
Well, absolutely. I had all three of my kids, 18, 16, and 14, outdoor knocking,
engaged. That's free labor, man.
Back when my kids were younger, we were interviewing candidates and senators and reps. I mean, got to engage them and help them understand the importance of conservative values, of family values, and what has made this state great.
Absolutely. Catherine, thank you for calling. I appreciate the in fact, we're just going to go straight to another one. I know, Ed, you've been sitting on hold for a while, and I know we've got a couple of others, but thank you for calling. We appreciate you being with us this evening. You've got Mike Capps and Stephen Owens with us tonight. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, well, Steve probably knows who I am from Newton.
Yeah, he actually gave me $5 and told me not to take the call, but, you know, fortunately, he doesn't run the show, so.
All right.
He's cheap.
Well, I guess my call is a little bit like the last one. You know, we've had three Republican legislators, Senator Dinah Sykes and Barbara Boyer, and Representative Stephen Clayton that have become Democrats. And, you know, what I appreciate is their honesty in denouncing their hypocrisy by acting like Republicans when in actuality voting on key issues with the Democrat. Now, am I allowed to mention names of senators?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I do it. Why can't you?
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to mention a name here. My senator is Senator Carolyn McGinn.
And I know Carolyn.
Her voting record is predominantly with the Democrat. And it's quite obvious that on issues that are key issues that you vote on, she votes with the Democrat. And she is a rhino plus. And the basic premise of being a Republican is that you support a smaller and more efficient government with lower taxes. And Senator McGinn's voting record has clearly been to show to grow government and to expand government. She's even voted to raise income taxes on the lowest income people in Kansas.
Yep. Oh, I know. It's, you know, and this is the hard part, is holding these folks to account. Part of it is getting people like you and some of these others to hold their elected representatives accountable. That's really the biggest issue that we have to do, is we have to get you to make sure that you're tracking their voting record, that you're keeping an eye on them and calling them to task when they're not voting according to the way they campaigned or according to the party principles. So, Ed, if you want to stick through or call back, that'd be great. We're still with you. We will be with you after the hour. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on KNSS.